WPSC-FM 88.7, Wayne, New Jersey.
Part of the William Patterson Broadcast Network. Brave New Radio.
How can I make money in the music business?
Why copyright?
Should I make a CD anymore?
Trying to break into the music and entertainment biz? Wondering how the business works? Wondering how guys like Elton John and MC Hammer go bankrupt?
Why am I not making any cash?
Tune in to WP Brave New Radio every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. Hang with the university's music business faculty hosts, me, Steve Marconi.
And me, Dave Phil. Plus, we'll have industry guests and students from the music management program.
How do I get gigs down at the shore?
Call in with your questions and hear the latest in industry happenings.
How do I get my music on iTunes?
How do I get on a tour?
It's Music Biz 101 and more every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Only on WP Brave New Radio.
Your secretary's got our checks, right?
Mine's direct deposit, I think.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of the host and guest and are not necessarily supported by WPSC 88.7 FM, station management, or the station owner, William Patterson University. Anyone wanting to offer differing opinions may do so by calling the show at 973-720-2738. Abusive callers will be rejected. Now here's your program on WP 88.7 FM Brave New Radio.
Good morning to you. And yes, indeed, it is Saturday morning once again, and that means it's time for another edition of the Reading Circle with Mark Medley, where we come to you live on Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. to 7 o'clock a.m., and then we follow up with the gospel music, the good news and song from 7 until 9. So we switch formats at the 7 o'clock hour, but in the 6 o'clock hour, we bring you what's going on in the world of reading, in the world of books, and we're going to do that this morning as my guest is already on the line. She called in right on tee, as my mother can say, and so she's awaiting there in the wings. So we're going to go ahead and do our usual routine. I'm going to give you the weather. I'll read from our two opening books, our opening passages, kind of like the trailers or the previews in a movie. Introduce our guests, take a short information sharing time, and then move right into our interview. So I'll tell you what, right now in terms of the weather, it is 35.5 degrees here in northern New Jersey. Expected to be cloudy skies this morning that will become partly cloudy this afternoon, high of around 60. Yes, I am waiting for these temps. Tonight, clear, partly cloudy, dropping back to a low of 32, and then for tomorrow, Sunday, cloudy skies, high of 42. Looks like tomorrow night is going to be clear, but we're dropping to a low of 18. And then on Monday, mostly sunny skies, high of 36, a low of 23 Monday night, a few clouds there. And then Tuesday, looks like snow might be developing, coming our way again. Hopefully that's off. The last couple of times we haven't gotten it, so let's pray that this time we miss it again. But we're going to have a high of 38. It says accumulations of less than 1 inch, so even if we do, it won't be much. Tuesday night, snow likely, low of 27. Now we're talking accumulations of possible 1 to 3 inches. 80% chance of snow Tuesday night, so it looks like we're going to see some more of the white stuff after all. Wednesday rounding out the forecast, light snow during the morning. Ooh, we see money's on the mind. Morning giving way to partly cloudy conditions during the afternoon, high of around 40. Chance of snow 40% on Wednesday, and then Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, a low of 21. So equip yourself accordingly, whatever paraphernalia you may need to keep yourself warm and dry. All right, as you know, those of you who listen on a regular basis, you know I read from two books, have been reading from those two books for years now, and that is What Can Happen When We Pray, and Until Today by Yanla Van Zandt. And we do that because it just sets a positive flow for the rest of the morning. So we're going to do that right now for today, March the 27th. March the 22nd. God fulfills our desires. You have given him his heart's desire. Psalm 21:2. Today's prayer. Oh God, how good it is to know that you are a God that hears and answers prayer. In our silence, when words refuse to come, you are aware of the deep rumblings of our soul. In our anguish, you comfort us. In our joy, you lift us up. When we place our petitions upon your altar, you respond, you bless, you encourage. Thank you for bringing us peace and comfort in knowing that you lovingly give us the desires of our hearts. Amen. When was the last time you had a praise report? God delivered you from a situation, blessed you with an opportunity, helped you mend a broken relationship, or just granted you a great day. Surely every time we breathe, there is something to be grateful to God for. Why not take a moment out of each day, in fact, right now, to identify one thing that God has done for you and then praise God. That's for today, March the 22nd, from the book What Can Happen When We Pray. Yanla Van Zandt says, for today, March the 22nd, I open my heart and mind to be aware. There is no need for me to be guilty about what I cannot or could not do. An indictment is a statement of charges. We would like to believe that an indictment does not import guilt. The truth of the matter is, once the finger of guilt is placed upon you, it can be quite difficult to shake it off. Nowhere is the presumption of guilt more devastating than when you point the finger at yourself. Guilt over what you did, guilt about what you did not do. A guilty mind or heart is incredibly destructive. Guilt damages your self-worth almost as quickly as it erodes your self-respect. The guilt then flows into your relationships, which makes it difficult for you to give anyone the benefit of the doubt. When you believe that you are guilty, you will recreate situations in which you will be accused. Guilty people are defensive. Quite often, they overcompensate by giving too much and saying too much. When a person feels guilty, it is difficult for them to see anything good in themselves. And so they are compelled to try to do more to prove their innocence. Unfortunately, the more they do, the more guilty they feel. You are not guilty. You may be right that you could have done things in a better way. This does not mean you must be sentenced to a life term of proving you are good. In order to remove guilt, you must acknowledge to yourself what you have done. When possible, you must make amends. Once you have done these two things, let yourself off of the hook. Letting yourself off of the hook means that you will not beat yourself up forever, and it gives you the opportunity to make better choices next time. Until today, you may have been unable to see yourself as guilt-free. Just for today, be devoted to reclaiming the innocence of your heart. Acknowledge what you have done or not done, and then let it go. Today, I am devoted to living a guilt-free life. That's from the book Until Today by Yanla Van Zandt. And as promised and right on schedule, I told you I was going to introduce our guest this morning. And she is on the air with us right now. And it says here, after a series of baffling life challenges, narrowly missing the tragic tsunami of 2011 in Japan, and a near-death experience, Afi had a wake-up call. Since then, she's been chasing after God and his purpose for her life. Originally from Tampa, Florida, Afi grew up taking tap dance, ballet, and piano lessons and reluctantly singing in and playing piano for her hometown church's youth choir. We have a lot in common, Afi. To her friends and family's surprise, she joined the U.S. Navy to see the world. She has been around the world and is currently stationed in Virginia Beach, Virginia. While serving on active duty, she is now an author, practicing artist and CEO of Author of Faith Enterprises. Afi loves to make God's word come to life by blogging and combining her artwork with scriptures. As a single woman who is actively preparing for God's best, she loves encouraging today's single Christian woman to live life in victory while preparing for, quote, Mr. Right, unquote. You can keep in contact with Afi by subscribing to Author of Faith's e-newsletter. Don't look to the left or right. Love who God created you to be. Joshua 1, 7 to 9. Afi, good morning and welcome to the Reading Circle with Mark Medley.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I am well, thanks. Up and at 'em and ready to go. As I said earlier when we first called in for 6 o'clock on a Saturday morning, not bad.
Right.
Well, as I said, as I was reading about, we have a lot in common. And as we talk for the next 45 or 50 minutes or so, you'll see some of the commonalities come out. As I was reading your bio, I was like, okay, all right. Yeah, I see that. So I tell you what, we're going to share some information with the audience. Because, see, I hate to say that we're going on a break because we're not. I mean, I'm not around. I'm working while the information is going on. And I tell the listening audience to get on their social media networks and let somebody know that we are on the air. So I want you to let somebody know that Afi Pittman is on the air with me, that we are going to have a dynamite interview. You're going to learn some things. You'll learn about her work and about her. And at the end of the day, we want you either to download her work or go to your local bookstore or whatever you need to do to read the work that Afi is putting out. So that's what I need you to do while we're sharing this information. So while you're listening, let somebody know they can open up a tab on their computer because we are all over the world. Anywhere there's internet connectivity, we can be heard as long as they have speakers. They go to their computer and go to gobrave.org. I've been putting it out on all my sites through Hootsuite, on Facebook and LinkedIn and everywhere. So everybody, all my folks know that Afi's on the line with me this morning. And I need you out there in the listening audience to do the same. Let somebody know that I have a special guest with me. And we will be with you momentarily.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Reading Circle with Mark Medley on Brave New Radio.
Yes, indeed you are. You're listening to The Reading Circle. We're heard live every Saturday morning from 6 o'clock a.m. to 7 o'clock a.m. If you want to keep up with The Reading Circle, you can download the Reading Circle app. If you go to iTunes, Google, or either Amazon, for whichever device you have, the app will work on there, whether it's your iPad, your iPhone, your Android. So if you go there, and it is free, F-R-E-E, free. So you can go there and download that. It has the show schedule. You'll see pictures of the guests. There's archives and clips there. It's a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun putting the app together, so I encourage you to download that, especially since it's free. If you don't like it, you can always delete it, but do download it and give it a try. Again, just go to iTunes and put in The Reading Circle. It will come up. If you do the same thing on Google and Android, Google and Amazon, it will come up as well. My guest this morning, and I'm looking at her webpage. Nice photo there, Afi. Afi?
Thank you so much, Mark.
Oh, okay, I didn't know. I had to look over at the lights. Did she drop?
No. I accidentally hit the mute button.
Yeah, I know how that goes. But nice photo. The black looks real. It works really well on you.
Thank you.
Author of My Faith. And I tell you why I said we have some commonalities, and that is because as a child, I played for the church's youth choir as well. As a matter of fact, I started taking piano lessons at 8, and then by 10, I was playing for the Sunday school, and by 14, from 14, I guess, to 40 or somewhere around there, over 30 years, I wound up playing for the various choirs. And
yeah.
So I understand that. And then you're in the military. I did 9 years.
Yeah.
Air National Guard here in New Jersey. I was a jet engine mechanic. And so I can relate to the military. I could relate to her. And then I have my daughters that did tap, dance, and ballet. So I'm looking at your bio saying, oh, I can relate there. So, all right. Well, I tell you what, we are going to roll it all the way. I generally, and I start my show off just about every week saying this, so I'm probably sure the listening audience know what I'm getting ready to say, which is I don't have a pat set of questions per se, other than generally the first question. So we can roll the tape back to give the audience a feel for where did the writing all begin. And usually my first question is, was this something that you did whenever you were in grade school or elementary school, or did it come along in high school, college, or even after all of that, you just decided one day, I want to put pen to paper. So when did the writing begin for you?
Well, first I wanted to say thank you for inviting me to be on the show. I love talking to people just about their journeys and mine as well, and sharing what God has done in my life. So thank you first. But to answer the question, when I was younger, I remember always, you know, kind of being a daydreamer and always doodling, because I, you know, do sketch art too, and just always having like this rich inner world of imagination and just recording myself making these little songs and things that didn't make any sense to anybody. But when I listened to them later on, I was like, okay, apparently I was trying to say something. Nobody knew, but I was trying to say something. But later on in grade school, I think it was about maybe like in the seventh grade, I had a teacher, maybe seventh or eighth grade, somewhere around there. I had a teacher who read an assignment that I had written. It was something that everybody was supposed to turn in. And she said, you should really let other people read what you write, because that's how people are going to understand how to get to know you. I was very introverted. I always had friends, but I was never one for a lot of friends. Very shy, very almost scared to talk to people. Like, now I'm not, you know, but very afraid to talk to people. But when I made friends, they're just like, yeah, let's go here, da-da-da, and I can't get them to stop talking to me, and I can't stop talking to them. But that's how I was when I was younger. And so as I grew, I would journal a lot, and I started writing poetry. And then one night, I found, or over a series of nights, when I was in Okinawa, about maybe 2010-ish, I started waking up in the middle of the night to go back to sleep sometimes for several hours at a time. So I finally said, okay, maybe I'm stressed out. Maybe I need to talk to somebody. I did all that and it didn't work. So I said, okay, God, what is it? What? Obviously you want something from me. What is it? And after those series of battling of dance and the tsunami and, you know, the near-death experience, I said, okay, I get it. God, you're trying to get me to do what it is that you want me to do. Even though I'm in the military, you created me to be a writer.
Right.
You created me to be a sketch artist. You created me to abide in your word.
Right.
So just show me what it is that you want me to do, to put all of that stuff together, even though I'm in the military, even though I'm ready to quit, because I wanted to quit like 10 times.
Right.
And sometimes I still wonder. But, you know, I just told him, I said, you know, just tell me what it is you want me to do so I can go back to sleep at night. And the books were part of it. So I said, okay, I started my company, started writing the books, and I said, I'm going to have to figure out how to make it work, because, you know, I didn't already have a demand for it, obviously. But I said, okay, I know that this is what God wants me to do. So I'm just going to keep going and try to make it and do my best to make it successful, get out of my own way, and then just do what he's called me to do.
So, and I always amazed, because when I'm not doing radio, my real job, or my day job, as some would say, is a principal at a school.
Okay.
And I'm always, my heart is always done well whenever I interview guests, and many of them, more than you know, would say somewhere along my path it was a teacher that said, you know what, you're good at this. And what always comes to mind is just how much influence educators have.
Yes.
Both negatively and positively. And to hear that a teacher said, you know what, you're good at this, people will read this, you know, we need more. I was encouraged to hear that, and matter of fact, thrilled that that was your answer. So now you've come along and you know, you got the imagination, because, okay, I'm looking at your picture. You don't look too old, but at the same time, I know, like, the kids coming through today, many of them may or may not have imaginations based on they can do everything electronically. So sometimes they don't even need it. But I know, you know, as a kid, when we didn't have all these things around us, imagination was it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So you had a vivid imagination, and now you're beginning to, like, not be able to sleep. You're over there in Japan, you're in the military, and you decide, okay, it must be the right. So you had been writing all along in terms of your journaling and everything, and poetry?
Yes.
So in terms of, like, your content or your topic matter, where did that come from for you?
Who? the current topic matter, I focus a lot on single women and single Christian women. I focus a lot on single Christian women, but I don't want to exclude someone who doesn't necessarily say that they are Christian, because right. You never know who might right. be watching or listening. But that came from when I started the company. It was, I didn't really know my voice yet or who I was talking to, and I had a mentor come along and help me realize that I had a lot to say when it came to why do I still have to be single when so-and-so is married? Why is it so difficult to find a guy who has something on his mind other than, I'm not going to say it,
right.
but other than, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm a guy. I know.
That's right. Why is it so hard to understand what the Word of God says about how we are supposed to conduct ourselves in dating and romantic relationships? It always talks about, bam, how it happens. Bam, or Eve was put into Adam and then it happened. Or, you know, all of the love stories where it really, you know, the woman appeared and then it just happened. It never, a lot of times it doesn't really talk about what led up to that. Until you read the Song of Solomon, you kind of don't really understand, you know, what the dynamic is supposed to look like. And even then right. you're thinking, okay, they've got to be married the way that they're talking, right?
Right.
But, you know, it leaves so many things out. It leaves so many things to the imagination. And so I started really digging into the Word. And I would just get on different scriptures, like when Samuel was about to anoint David, and he thought it was supposed to be one guy, and the Lord said, no, can't look on the outside, you got to look at the heart. And then the New Living Translation says, and David, the Lord said, this is the one, he was beautiful with beautiful eyes.
Right.
And I took that and I said, well, maybe the Lord's going to tell me when I meet the dude, and I'm sitting up there looking at him like, I don't think so. But he's like, no. You know. But these are the types of things that kind of got me on that path, is really digging into the Word and not just figuring out what God has to say about that, but what does God say about every other area of my life, because my singleness does touch every other area of my life. I got to figure out how to do some other things creatively, because, you know, I'm not paired up yet.
Absolutely.
You know, how do I apply the Word of God every day? How do I take the feedback from people, whether I think they mean well or not, and really take it in so that I can become who God has created me to be, and then so I can be who He's created me to be to them. So that's where I'm focused on right now.
And you know what? It is a worthy topic. And I'll tell you what, because I have a 19-year-old daughter. She'll be 20 in October. And we have these conversations all the time, because she asked those questions. She had her little first boyfriend and everything, and things didn't work out. And she thought she was just going to die because, you know, they didn't work out this, that, and that. But we have, I'm thankful to God that she's open enough to share anything with me. I mean, there's like nothing in her life, because she's a sophomore or junior in college now. And there's nothing that we won't share. So we're on the ride back. Last week was our spring break, and we're back riding back to Delaware, and we're talking about this very same issue, because she's like, or I'm like, you know, Nene, first off, you're only 19. At some point, another young man will come. But it is a challenge. For the females, it is a challenge. And we're going to talk a little bit about that whenever we share this information. But again, folks, you know the drill. Get on all your social media. Get on your Facebook, your LinkedIn, your Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, whatever you're on, because there's so many of them out there. But I want you to go in there and use it for something positive. That's to let folks know that Afi Pittman is on the air with me, and the subject that she's talking about is real. And it is critical. And at the end of the day, Afi, in some respects, it could wind up saving, you know, some females' lives.
Right.
Because there's a lot. I mean, I always tell people, because everybody say, you have a book and you have a book. I said, you know what? When I write my book, I can tell you now, brothers are not going to like me. And because a lot of times I really do feel, in terms of holding the accountability on the side of the brother. So I always, because there's some there, and I'm a man, but there's some slack brothers out there. I know what I see, and I know what I interact with, I know what I deal with. And there's too many men with this mindset of the notch on the bedpost mentality.
Right.
And I truly do believe that. And then being the father of daughters, certainly I'm trying to caution them from that, as you were saying earlier, generally, and not always the case. And that's what we're trying to get away from. But usually the male has that one thing on his mind. And once he gets that, he's ready to dash. And, and you know, it's too many of us like that. Not all of us are like that, but it's too many of us are like that. And that's where, you know, the game kind of needs to change. But there's a part in that where, and maybe your book gets into that, where the women really do have control over that situation. And so we'll talk about that whenever after I share this information. I can tell right off the bat this is going to be a hot interview. So, folks, please let somebody know that Afi is on the air with me and that you need to hear this interview.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing I see everywhere: childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids struggle with it. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers up surplus food and gets it to hungry kids. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Reading Circle on WP88.7 FM.
Welcome back to The Reading Circle with Mark Medley, heard live on Saturday mornings from 6 a.m. Eastern Time. I always have to say that since we're heard all over the world. Eastern Time to 7 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time. My guest this morning is Afi Pittman. She is the author of My Faith. She is the CEO of that. She started that, the source of encouragement for today's single woman. And it's funny in terms of like really single, married, relationship, all of it is a mindset.
Yes.
And that's what I think a lot of people really don't get. And it's funny, regardless of which way you're in, there's always somebody that's criticizing whichever one you're in. It's like, yeah, if you're single, everybody wants to know when you're going to get somebody. If you're married, then you start all of a sudden, well, you know, the grass is not green on the other side, but you start looking. Regardless of when, I've been in both. I've been in the married and I've been in the single. I've been in the married and the single. So it's like whichever one you're on, each has its benefits. Each has its pros and cons, and it really is just kind of like being satisfied with whichever one you're in. And that's where I think you come in terms of what would God have for you. And as I was saying prior to the break, as a male and knowing many of my male counterparts, I know how we can be in it. But I do know also there's a lot that's control, if not all of it, that's control. That's why I say brothers would hate me. They'd be like, something wrong with you, man. Turn in your car. Turn in your bone card. Turn in your dog card. You know? Turn it in because you're not right. Talking the talk. But the truth, yeah, of the matter is a lot of it can be control on the female end, because this is what most men are not willing to admit. Everything the male does is driven by the female. Everything is done to attract female. The car they drive, the clothes they wear, the house, the neighborhood they live in, the job they get. All of that is a part of being able to attract a female. Even in the animal world, everything that's done on the male end is done to attract the female species of it. So, with that being said, one of the things I've said here on this show is even some of this stuff, like, it boggles my mind that a female would get into a car of a male that's listening to some of this rap that's degrading women. In other words, they step into a car that's filled with rap songs that's calling them female dogs and hoes and this, that, and the other. And I would always tell people, you know what? If the women would collectively get together and would all now at some point say, you listening to that and you can't be with me, the rap industry would, at least that kind of rap would plummet.
Yeah.
Because the brothers would stop buying it. That would affect the industry. And the industry would say, well, you know what? Nobody's buying this. That would put the end to it right there. Same thing in school. I tell the girls all the time, when that little boy come at you, and he wants your digits and your numbers and this, that, and the other, ask to see his report card. And, you know, in terms of the A's and B's on the report card, what? You got all them F's? No, brother, you can't be with me. A lot of things would change. That's what I mean in terms of the power of the female.
Yeah.
So as you were addressing this whole issue of singleness, kind of like, what have you learned? Because not only are you addressing it, you're experiencing it yourself.
Right. I think What I look at it twofold. I try to pay attention to what seems to be common to us collectively, but I also share individually, because that kind of starts to open up the dialogue. And what I'm noticing collectively, is that for professional women, you know, like you said, with the mindset, it's almost like we go into dating with the mindset, well, it's just going to be so hard to find somebody of quote unquote my standards. But, you know, honestly, your standards should be God's standards.
Right.
And God never said anything about what type of car he has to drive, what type of job he has to drive. He said that a band that doesn't work doesn't eat. That's what he said.
That's right.
As long as he has a job where if you lose, that high power job that you have and he can take care of both of you all, what's the problem? Even if he doesn't have the same level of education that you have. Okay, I understand, you know, I understand the disparity there, for lack of a better word. But if you can take him to where you go and he can hold a conversation with the people that you meet, he can hold a conversation with your boss and he can take you to where he goes and you can hold a conversation with the people that he normally interacts with during the day. Maybe that's a start. And I don't say that to be sarcastic, but I wish that it was something that I was taught a little bit sooner. And I wish that it was something that we could, even if you don't agree, just take it in and consider it so that you can figure out where you stand, so that you're not eliminating good men off the bat. And, you know, and just looking for qualifications and just types of jobs and things that at the end of the day don't have an impact on a godly marriage. But the standpoint that I look at it from in general is, what's going to get you to a godly marriage? You know, people talk about the list, and I do cover the list in my upcoming book, How to Go From a Hot Single Mess to Ready for God's Best. I cover that because I started off with wanting a specific list. And I said, gee, you know, if it's not in the Bible, what's the point of me putting it on here? So that caused me, again, to go back to the Bible and really dig through it and say, okay, is this biblical or is it not? If it's not, then I can't put it in there.
Mm.
So, you know, I really found scriptures that kind of based it off of that. And then to take that a step further, the men that I meet, because I'm around men every day, right? The men that I meet that actually do approach me in that manner, now I'm starting to learn, okay, you know, how am I supposed to go about this without coming across as too independent, too aggressive, and, you know, being a turnoff, but also, you know, being soft but not being foolish, like you were talking about. How do I use my head in this regard? So that part I'm still learning, because men seem to change every couple years almost to me. So I have to really, really pay attention, because sometimes they come bold, sometimes they come hard, sometimes they come fast, and you don't have to, you got to think on the back. So
that's
right. I'm trying to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you need me to say? How is it you need me to look, for that matter? Am I looking at him crazy? What am I doing wrong, Lord? So just show me what you need me to do. And those are all of the different things that I take into consideration. What, at the end of the day, is going to get you to the goal of not just a marriage, but a godly marriage, if that's what you want, because that can exist despite what people might tell you today.
Absolutely. And it's funny, as I was listening to you, in terms of you were talking about the list. Now, this is where I know this to be true, because I know of a woman whose first love, I mean, just everybody knew about this particular couple. They were like the couple of the town. Everybody knew about them. But back into the whole education thing, she became college educated and he did not. And he was a regular employee of a factory or maintenance man, whatever the job was. So this particular female somewhat used that as the reason of, well, you know what, I don't see any future in this based on the job that you're doing now, this, that, and the other. Went and now got someone that was an attorney that thought that was going to be the it. And it's been a mess every since. Would have been much better off with the factory worker, if you will, or the layman, or whatever you want to call him. Much better off with that person, but went after the job title. And it has been, like I said, just a mess every since. It does happen that way. Sometimes when you're chasing the title and all that kind of stuff, you really can mess yourself around. Wherein, you know what? Had I went with the factory worker, we probably would have been in bliss right now. Still. And then I thought about, and when I was listening to you, there's a joke about Michelle and Barack Obama where they had gone to a restaurant and Michelle saw one of her classmates and he said, "Oh, Michelle," and they were talking and Barack was looking. And so Barack asked her, you know, who was that? And he said, that's a guy I went to school with. And he just told me how he owns this restaurant. So Barack laughs and says, huh, if you'd have married him, you would have been the wife of a restaurant owner. And Michelle shoots back at him, no, if I'd have married him, he would have been president of the United States. So the impact that women have, and again, like you said, just being able to accept, okay, you know, regardless of what the job is, let me look at the person. Because you have some, right. You have some wonderful custodians out there. You really do. You have some wonderful. There are good men in every pocket. And like I said, once you put that list up there, and one thing I really liked the way you said was, okay, if I'm going to have a list, it's going to be created on the Bible.
Yeah.
So for the most part, with that list, you probably can't go wrong.
Yes. I would hope so.
Right, one would hope.
Yeah, one would hope
so. So, now, again, as I said, I'm looking at your photo here on your website. Very attractive. What challenge is that in terms of, because I know, I mean, for, and it's funny because you said going from a hot mess. So, yeah. And I know for, because, you know, everybody's beautiful in their own way, one way or the other. But, of course, there the media and everything else throws out there what attractive is and what attractive isn't. And, you know, and men are attracted to certain looks, this, that, and the other. How do you now, and you're in the military, you're around men all the time. How do you deal with that in terms of, you know, various men coming on to you or whatever?
Honestly, Mark, you know, moment of transparency, I've had to soften up. You know, and I know that I've talked about, you know, being an introvert, and but, you know, it's not like I was a sanguine introvert. I was like a melancholy introvert.
Okay.
So the joy of the Lord was not my strength.
Okay.
I had to find that in my life as I got older, and that was really just recently. And, you know, and again, you know, different people learn things in different points of life, but I've had to soften myself actually a bit. Because I, you know, what I'm finding is that certain things can be taken as you're unapproachable. And really, I'm not. It's just that being an introvert at heart, you know, it's not that I don't like people. I love people. I love being around people. But an introvert needs that time to regroup and re-energize so that they can go back to the people, you know, always taking it back to God, or at least I try to, you know, so that they can go back to the people that they're called to serve,
right,
and be of use and not have the stank face, as they call it. And, you know, just, and, you know, look at these people like, you know, what gift is this that God is bringing before me? But I've had to soften up a bit. I've had to soften up a bit. And I think once I did a little, that's when I noticed, okay, that was a little bit of a problem. Like, I kind of, you know how you kind of feel like somebody's watching you?
Right.
That's when I noticed, okay, it's true. People, they've been watching. Maybe a certain guy has been kind of waiting to see, okay, I don't really know how to say what I need to say or what I want to say.
Right.
She looks kind of upset today. Right. Look, she had a rough day. You know, her hair's not done today, but she's really cute when she does it. You know, so I said, okay, so I need some consistency here. I need to start doing my hair. Need to, you know, do my nails. We can wear little gold studs with our earrings. We can wear, you know, makeup as long as it's... So I started doing all of that, and sure enough.
Right.
That's what happened, Mark. But, you know, when it happens, I always take into consideration, number one, is this going to get me in trouble professionally?
Right.
Because that can't happen. As an officer, I can't fake somebody who's enlisted. It's not that I think I'm better. I just can't do it.
I know the rules of the military. I know fraternization. I know the rules.
Exactly. You can, but, you know, you might not get paycheck next month.
That's right.
But, you know, so, you know, number one, is it going to get me in trouble? Two, you know, the pay... Try to make yourself someone who the Holy Spirit abides in, because the Holy Spirit will tell you, okay, you need to run.
That's
you
right.
Stay put and investigate a little bit more, or it's total green light. So the Holy Spirit can really let you know what's going on. And then three, do I even like this guy?
Right.
You know, you don't have to talk to him just because he's talking to you. Do I like this guy?
Right.
Or, you know, if I don't know if I like him, okay, maybe there's something about him. You know, like the Holy Spirit said, okay, go ahead, find out some more, and then decide. You know, you just have to take different things. That's what works for me.
Right.
And, you know, again, I always share what works for me so that, you know, in hopes that maybe somebody can say, yeah, you know, what I've been doing works for me too. Or, you know, no, maybe not. So maybe let me go back to the drawing board with that. So, yeah, that's my take on that.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, if you just joined us, and I hope you've been with us since 6, because we've been having a spirited discussion about a very real topic, especially, you know, for not to say that it doesn't happen in other ethnic groups or communities, but I know for African-American women, it is a serious issue only because, as I said, there's too many of our young men, for whatever reason, and we're going to continue to pray, but for whatever reason, many of them are in jail. Many of them, unfortunately, have passed away. Some have decided or was born, whichever way they are, that they've, you know, they're into the lesbian, gay, what have, the LGBT group or what have you. So the numbers are slim. And it's funny because I watched a college guy, and I have this discussion with my daughter all the time, on generally, particularly on, you know, HBCUs, historically black colleges, the numbers of females to males is like 12, 13, 14 to 1. You're talking about for every male on the campus is 14 females. So the male in his mind feels like, hey, I got the pick of the litter. Right. And this is where the female thing, where the females collectively need to get together. Because let's say, for example, like we were talking earlier, that one thing that's on the male's mind. Okay, now you say no, but now your girlfriend says yes. So right. Now the guy's mind is like, okay, fine, say no. I can go on to the next one. There's more of you than it is of me, so the chances of me scoring are far higher than yours. But the women have to all get together and say, what? You did that to her? Ah, no. Mm-mm.
Yeah.
So you got... it's those kind of dynamics that need to kind of go on, and things will kind of line back up, if you will. But as long as there's like, what? She didn't take you? Come right on. I'll do it. Yep. That's whenever you start getting into that, you know, the guy really does, you know, feel like, hey, I'm the rooster. I'm the ruler of the roost, and I have my way. But I tell you what, we're going to share some more information with you. Again, Afi has about 20 more minutes or so with me, unless the spirit moves us into the next hour, which it could. That's why I love that flexibility. but she has 20 more minutes scheduled. We may go longer if need be, because the conversation is real and someone may be helped by this. Because, you know, the flip side of it is, like I said, each one, whether it's married, single, whatever, each one has its own pros and cons. I have a guy, my best friend that we grew up together. We are the same. He's 1 year younger than me, has been single his entire life. And so and that's by choice. That's like, you know, he dates every now and again or what have you, but that is by choice. He has chosen not to be committed, and it's not like he's running women. It's not. If he doesn't, if we even wonder, like, do you ever even see any women? But like, he is happy as they come.
Wow.
Goes to work. Come home when he wants, eats what he wants to eat when he wants to eat, go out. I mean, just not, no kids, no, not worried a bit about a spouse. And I mean, I'm talking somebody, like I said, I'm 51, he's 50. We're talking about, I mean, it has been that way his entire life. And I don't think has any inclination or any thoughts of ever getting married. I mean, so for some people, that lifestyle is their lifestyle. And I'm not talking about somebody that's promiscuous, or somebody that's out there. Because I'm telling you, I know this brother. Now, this is one I can vouch for. That's not his life. But at the same time, he's not looking to be married either. So it is a mindset. I'm going to share this information with you, and then we're going to come back to this discussion. Don't you dare move unless you're picking up that phone or doing something to let somebody know they need to tune in to this morning.
Hi, my name is Stan Myers, and I'm here at FM 88.7. I do a jazz show called Just a Mood. And if you like the music, anything from Louis to Lester Bowie, I'm your man. At Sunday afternoons, 3 to 6. Looking to hear from you, okay?
Well, we are back. My guest this morning is Afi Pittman, and we're talking about this whole notion of being single, because her work at the moment is dealing with encouragement for today's single woman. So Afi, the folks that read your work, because I mean, single can be male or female, but each has its issues depending on your gender. How have they received it? I mean, have you had somebody say, girl, that was me you was talking about?
Not yet. A lot of the folks who, some of my blog readers, they're like, I really get, or, you know, a lot of the articles that I've written, my first book was for young adults, and because that's where I was, and that was the first book, you know, I was telling you about, okay, let me just go ahead and do this, so I go back to sleep at night. So I wrote that book, you know, because that's where I was, you know, I was coming, I'm still, I guess, considered a young adult, but I kind of felt like, okay, I'm no longer in my 20s. I need to, kind of move to the next, look to the next phase, but still be young. So, but this book that I'm working on and my blog articles specifically deal with singleness as it pertains to single women. Try not to leave the guys out, but, I am a woman and we're
right.
Different. But, some of my blog readers would say, Yeah, I would, and then, with different things that I talk about with the book, with people that I speak with on interviews and things, they say that does resonate. The women that I talk to, they say that it does resonate.
Right.
So I hope, what I'm hoping is that as I reach more people, I pray that, as I reach more people or I reach the people that God wants me to reach, that they say the same thing. And I don't just share what I want to say to, elicit whatever type of response I want. It's okay, I really do need your feedback.
Right.
What is what I'm saying affecting you? So I just hope that as it increases in numbers, I still continue to get, that wasn't how it worked for me, or, that did hit the mark. So
right.
It's going there, it's growing, and I just hope that it continues to line up as it grows.
Well, good. I mean, because again, it is some, for some people, it's a choice. For some, it's like, okay, I'm waiting for whoever God's supposed to have for me. But it's like my pastor always says, because that the clarion call is, I can do bad all by myself. But he always says, you can do good all by yourself, too.
You can. Yeah.
And that's what I think females need to understand, too. Okay, all right, I don't have anybody, but I can still do what I need to do until that time comes.
Because
you have some women that'll just sit around and sulk. They'll get into the pity party and won't do anything because they don't have anybody. And it's like, why do you feel like you have to have someone? I mean, do what you're going to do or what do you need to do until that time comes? And and again, that's what, with my 19-year-old, we had these crazy, because she's telling me about the girls on the college campus. They're like polling each other as to, who's still a virgin and who lost their virginity. I said, first off, why are you all having this discussion? That's something that's very personal. Why do you all need to broadcast and discuss that with each other in terms of, and don't let them goad you, or don't let them now challenge you or make you feel as if you're less of a person because you're still a virgin as any other. So, don't get into that rut. Don't get into that boat. But there are people that, I'm saying all that to say, there are people that are coming at you to say, what, you still single? You're not married yet? You're not. And the funny thing is, with that, it never stops, because that's the first question. Okay, when are you going to get married? Okay, now you finally get married. The next question, when you going to have children? Okay, now you have a boy. Next question is, when you going to have a girl? All right, and now you had a girl. Well, do you think you're going to have another? It never ends.
You're right.
So no matter which status you're in, folks are going to be talking and asking. And it's like...
Yes. And that's one of... When I talk about being a hot single mess, it's for different reasons. For some people, it's promiscuity. And for me, it's no... I was never promiscuous. I can count on one hand how many boyfriends I've had. But my heart goes out to women who struggle with that.
Right.
Because that creates soul ties. And then, they're wondering why, they can't connect with good men. It's because you're still tied to the last one.
Right.
And even for women who haven't had a lot of men, if you don't properly deal with that breakup once you've had sex with them, or once you've been tied to them that way, you're going to have issues when you go forward if you don't resolve it and cut that tie. Not to say that you can't be friends later, maybe. I don't know. Some people don't recommend it, but if you can be friends, you can. But you have to cut that tie if you know that that's someplace that you don't want to go. But for me, being a hot single mess was more about me not exactly being able to see and know who I was through God's eyes. People would give me positive or negative feedback, but at the end of the day, I didn't know what God said. So therefore, how am I going to know what I need in a husband? How am I going to know that if I don't know who I am? And then, like you said, people are like, well, when are you going to get married? When are you going to do this? How can we be so single? Do you even want to date? Do you even like guys? I'm just like, what are you talking about? Like, well, the older that you get, your eggs expire. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Right.
Are we really having this discussion? And it messed me up to the point where I started asking God. I'm like, come on, God, you're holding out on me. And I'm just like, I got to get a grip. And I think what finally did it for me was after my father's funeral, I was in Djibouti, flew home for 2 weeks. And I felt terrible. But I was able to pull myself back together. before, by the time that I came back, I was able to just kind of go through the motions. I said, okay, I'm doing fine. And I told God, I said, look, I know you love me. I know you do. But I need you to show me in a very real way. My mother called not even a month later after I get back and tells me that another father of mine, I don't know if you're familiar like with the, you know, the Navy, but he was a retired U.S. Navy chief. Not my dad, but the adopted dad.
Right.
And I had given up at that point. I said, you know, I just saw the man this summer. And I said, Lord, I give up.
Right.
I said, you're going to have to do something with me because I can't do it.
Right.
I gave up. And all of that combined with all the nagging and the questions that I had, I was like, well, why do I still have to be single? Why can't I have a husband to lead on?
Right.
Why do I have to do this by myself? And I found myself reading Isaiah 30 one night. And if it was a conversation, he'd have said, beloved, you've made marriage an idol. You've placed this on top of, you've let that eclipse the provision that I've put in your life. Like you asked me to do, you just asked me to be there for you, but you're saying, why can't I have a husband? And I felt terrible, Mark. I felt so bad. I couldn't even pick up my Bible for a week because I was like, I don't know why. I don't want to know what else he's going to say. I'm a terrible. But, you know, I said, I was like, I got to warm up. I got to pick my Bible back up and start over because I'm glad that he revealed that to me. And since then, he's revealed other things, and that's how my book has come to fruition. That's how I was able to identify that I was a hot, single mess. And from not wanting to do my hair at one point, and I'll be real honest with that because it's not something that anybody didn't see, okay?
Right.
From thinking, well, you know, I don't need to look my best. The right man's going to love me for me. No, that's not how that goes. From that to constantly wondering why I had to be single, to not even know who I was, to people constantly nagging me, I said, you know what? It's a new season. That's done. And I'm going to write about how to go from that point to preparing yourself. And like you said, you have to be active in the process. You can't just wait on God to do something. Just drop it out.
That's right.
Even if he does, how are you going to receive it? You're not ready.
That's right.
So he took me on a journey to where I'm still preparing, but I've learned so much, Mark, so much about what it means to be a wife, what it means to conduct yourself as a wife, even though you're still single, what it means to date God's way, what it means to even know, you know, how a man, even though he might be out there, he might see God in you. So how do you reel him into the church? Don't worry about trying to date him. Reel him into the church and let God deal with him.
Right.
Do you even know how to do that? If the answer is no, that means that you need more work. That means you need to go back to God. And I talk about all that in my book, all of that. And I try to be as transparent as possible. Without going on a tangent, of course, like I just did. But I'm sorry.
No, that's not a tangent at all. Because, see, the thing is, in radio, that's what you need. Now, television, television people watch it. But the worst thing you have in media is dead air. So I'm always glad when I have somebody that can talk versus somebody that makes me work and give me a bunch of one-word answers. When I ask a question, they say yes, and it goes dead, or no, and the air got. So anytime I have somebody talk, that's what radio is all about. Yeah. But I laughed when I listened to you whenever you said, God tell you, now look, you said you wanted, I thought about the folks in, I think it's Judges, where they kept asking for a king.
Yeah.
And, you know, he told, no, you really don't want a king. You don't, you know, you have the king, and they realize it. And then God turns around. Okay, fine. I'm going to give you what you want. And then they suffered.
Yeah.
So sometimes, you know, that happens. Like, okay, you're asking for what you think you want from the humanistic side. And God is telling you, no, I know what you need. You know, I'll give it to you in due time. But the other thing you said that's very important, and I have yet to do the numbers on, is self-esteem an issue more with females than it is men? My guess is, my hunch is, self-esteem is more of an issue with females than it is males. But then again, I don't know. But this is the advice I always give kids, and it was given to me, and I didn't follow it. But I always give kids this advice. First, love you. Get to know who you are. Love you.
Yeah.
So I usually tell them, you know, college, military, whichever way. Go travel the world. Go get your own apartment. Live with yourself for a little while. Travel the world. You're getting to do that with the military. And then whenever you find whoever that is, you know who you are. Because a lot of times, unfortunately, people get in a relationship not knowing who they are, thinking the other person is going to complete them. not realizing that they're already complete, and you know, the other person ought to be complete too. And then that way you'll complement each other. But many people are looking for that other person and they don't even know who they are. So it's been my experience and what I've learned and researched and experienced that people who really get to love themselves, then they're free to love somebody else. But if they're looking to fulfill something in that other person, that's when problems arise.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. And if you don't know who you are, how are you going to offer that to somebody else?
Exactly.
I always go back to how God created Eve. God looked at Adam and said it wasn't good. You know, okay.
Correct.
So he said, "But you know, dude, no, something's not quite right.
Right.
You're not paired up. You need somebody like you." So he created Eve. Eve came already formed,
right,
and made. And Adam said, "You know what? Yep, that's my wife."
That's
it. You know, it doesn't say that in the Bible.
But that's right. But
again,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
So talk a little bit about your experience with the tsunami.
That, it didn't hit us. It didn't hit us. In fact, the night that it started to rumble, we were sitting out on the waterfront. It was clear as day, beautiful, because Okinawa was an island, like a very small island. So we were like, yes, I guess it's going to hit tomorrow. So, you know, the next day, a couple of my friends and my mom called. They were like, "Oh my God, are you okay? Are you what's going on? Are you I'm like, yeah, what do you mean? I'm good." So I cut on the TV and I said, "Oh my God." I said, that was supposed to hit us.
Right.
And I thought, geez, if it did, I don't know if that small island could have sustained, you know, I mean, would I even have been here?
Right.
So they kind of got me to thinking. The near-death experience thing was, I thought it was going to go to Afghanistan. And I knew that, you know, that's what you kind of have to do at this time in the military.
Right.
But it wasn't that so much to bother me. It was just, you know, if I die over there, well, I have done everything that I was supposed to do in life.
Right.
To me, that was a near-death experience. Because, you know, it's like you get sent to these places and people tell you, "Oh, you'll be fine." But people don't come back.
That's right.
They don't come back.
That's right.
You know, and it's just, I said, you know, that bothered me. It bothered me. But to make a long story short, I wound up going to Djibouti, and all of the things that happened while I was there, even though I, you know, got to the point where I gave up a little bit, God still built me back up. He still broke me down and built me back up. And I said, you know, if He spared my life, if He kept me out of harm's way, then the least I can do is continue to grow.
I know, that's right. Do you get a chance to actually go out and speak to single women's group or women's groups or what have you?
Not yet. It's something that I hope to do.
Okay.
I did my first speaking engagement. They had a group of singles there, but it was a married couples retreat. And we talked about different things, like, you know, internet dating, speed dating. And they were very vocal about it. It was like, I'm not just, you know, they were very vocal, and it helped me to see, okay, I'm onto something. And if I can, like, you know, like you said, speak more to more women, maybe I can tap more into that pulse. Yeah.
The reason I asked the question is because sometimes with these sessions, they'll do like a crisscross where they'll have a married person presenting or lecturing to a single person. It's kind of like, if I'm the single person sitting in that office, I'm sitting there looking at them like, well, that's easy for you to say. You're getting yours every night or every other night or what have you.
Right.
I'm the one. So it really ought to be someone who's in the same situation that's doing the ministering or the talking to the group. Same thing with why would you have now a single person ministering or talking to a married group? It doesn't make sense, but I have seen where you'll have somebody that's married talking to the single folks. It's like, that would bug me because, yeah, it's easy for you to say because you're not in my situation.
Right.
So, well, I tell you what, we've come down to the last few minutes, and what I do in that last few minutes is give you the opportunity to promote, let folks know where you're going to be, any book signings, how they can get your work, whether it's e-reader, whether it's the hard copy or the paperback. This is your chance. You could say anything about anything other than the physical price, other than the dollar amount. You can feel free to shout out whoever you'd like, whatever, any way that they can get into, whether it's your website or whatever. So this is your moment.
All right. Well, you can find me at authorofmyfaith.com. And I have a sign up, subscribe tab And if you subscribe, you'll get the e-newsletter once every month with devotionals and other topics and also other offers. If you go to authormyfaith.com/events, you will see all of the events that I have scheduled, all of my radio airings and other projects that I'm working on. And you'll also get information when you go back to authormyfaith.com. authormyfaith.com/hotsinglemess, you can get information about the book. And again, if you subscribe to the e-newsletter, you'll get free chapters once they're available. And then you'll have the opportunity to write me back to tell me what you think. And then we'll go from there.
All right. Her name is Afi, is spelled A-F-I. Last name Pittman, P-I-T-T-M-A-N. And her website is authormyfaith.com. And if you go to her site, as she said, you will have the opportunity to learn everything, whether, you know, I'm looking at the home, the blog, the about the author, the e-store, resources for singles, contact Afi, subscribe. You can do all of that on her site. And again, Afi, I'm sure, you know, again, and the good thing is I love the fact that we talked about, because the truth of the matter is your remaining single or staying single is up to you in terms of kind of choosing, you know, the way God is leading you in terms of, you know, your standards and your list, your biblical list, so forth and so on. Because I know how males operate. They walk up on you, you would have no problem with anyone you say yes to. Okay, we're with it. We're on. So you literally are making that choice to say, no, that's who I want to be. That's who I don't. Because, you know, from an attractiveness standpoint, that's not an issue. You know, again, you say you're softening yourself. This and that, that's not an issue. Because the women, like I said earlier, really do kind of control that thing, whether they right. know it or not. So it's not a matter of you being single just for because not that you're not being approached, because I'm sure you're being approached. It's a matter of being selective.
Yeah.
And that I don't blame you for. And that's what I was saying earlier in terms of just saving some lives, because there are a lot of females that are not selective, like anybody that walks through, and you never know what people have. We were talking earlier in terms of generally anybody you have like a sexual relationship, really, really they're with you your entire life. A piece of them is with you forever.
Yeah.
So if you're constantly switching over partners, however many partners you've had, if it's 7, 10, 12, 15, 20, whatever, those people are with you one way or the other for the rest of your days, because a part of them is in you and a part of you is in them.
Yeah.
So I applaud you. And again, as you can get that message out there, like I said, I'm going to forward to my daughter your site. I'm going to forward to her and tell her, Nene, look over this.
Okay. And if she has any questions, she's more than welcome to email me.
I will. Well, I thank you for, if you're in the military, you used to rise early, I'm sure. I remember those days. But yes. I do thank you for rising early to join me this morning. I do record the sessions, and what I'll do is I'll email you a copy of the MP3 link, and you can do whatever you want with it. Put it on your website, send it out to friends or what have you, those that didn't want to rise early with us this morning.
Yeah.
You can email it to them and they can still hear it. All right.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you as well, and have a wonderfully blessed week.
All right. Thanks, Mark. You too.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye now.